It can't live anymore. It's got to die. So how best to do it? Have his ass almost get rocked in his wheelchair behind little, like, less than $1,000, I'm sure.
Welcome to Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Caroline.
I'm Avis.
And today we are discussing Degrassi Season 6, Episode 7, Working for the Weekend. Roses are red. Alex's past behavior is dastardly. Spin wants to be a cop, even though they're all bastardly. Did you know it's possible to fail a career aptitude test? It shouldn't be, but if anyone can, it's our man Spinner Mason. Between learning he's best suited to be a clown and Darcy gaslighting the both of them into thinking that them breaking up over Darcy selling lewds on My Room page is somehow his fault, Spin is spiraling. Luckily, he and Jimmy have made up, because between Jimmy's academic fund and artistic abilities and the cool grand Spinner saved up working at the Dot, maybe the two can start a t-shirt business. Unfortunately, the boys land in some hot water and have to shut the whole thing down. But along the journey, Spin comes to the conclusion that he would, in fact, make a great clown. I mean, cop. Over in the B plot, we're just going to have to take the Degrassi writers at their word that Alex got a whole bunch of character development over the summer. And now she's back at Degrassi to improve her grades so she can get into college. And what's a college application without some extracurriculars? That's right. Your girl is joining a sports team. Unfortunately, former victim and fellow teammate Serena is not buying what she's selling. And she's here to remind us all that a redemption arc doesn't mean shit without some accountability.
I actually appreciate this B plot a lot.
Me too.
It's weird because I think that what we usually fall victim to around this time is like B plots that mean nothing. B plots that mean too much and maybe should have been A plots.
Entire pregnancies.
Entire pregnancies and human birth. Relegated to not even a B plot, but a montage of events. So it feels like this is very balanced, and like this is something that did not need its own larger plot, but it needs time for Alex to organically kind of be like, okay, I'll give. What the fuck is your problem? And then for us to be like realizing that, I mean, Alex was a background character for a lot of her tormentor time. We didn't spend as much time with her as we do now, which is not a lot. It's very plausible for me to be like, okay, the way that her brain was just like, I'm just gonna fuck with whoever, like randomly. It's very much like, yeah, this was your menace time. This was the time that you played your role in the shooting.
And you almost blinded that girl with a laser pointer. I'm sorry, that's ridiculous. Can we just?
That sounds like something like a parent told her, like something someone told her to make her feel better. Like, you were almost blinded, honey. Like, you were almost blinded. A laser pointer, like one of the ones that you get for your cat, correct?
Or like the classroom.
Or like a classroom laser pointer, which I wouldn't think are too far off in the intensity of the actual laser.
Yeah, no, I think they're pretty equal, depending on like the quality. But even It's not like a laser like that, guys.
It's a pinpoint. It's like a cursor size. Just meant to like highlight something as someone's giving a presentation. It's
blind Serena.
It's barely it's not even the size of your pupil to do that.
Well, I don't think it has to be the size of your pupil to cause damage. If it were a thing,
if it were a powerful
that could cause
enough.
Damage.
True.
But just don't believe
it. It would be just like a bright light. Like,
not me Googling right now. Can you really go blind from a laser pointer? Why didn't I do this beforehand?
This
Who
is
knows?
A really important
I didn't realize what
thing.
An important plot point it was.
Right, for us to criticize.
They can. They can cause eye damage, including permanent blindness, if they're not used safely. But most of them are relatively low powered. But some, that especially those not properly labeled or classified, can be powerful enough to cause some serious retinal damage, even with brief exposure.
So Degrassi is also raising awareness about laser pointers.
Alex is poor, though, so I don't know if I believe that Alex can afford a blinding laser pointer.
You're like, and she's poor next.
The only reason that Degrassi has anything going on is because Darcy's selling fucking lewds, and like they get fucking Garnier Fructis or some shit to Pantene Pro-V sponsors their shit, but I don't think Pantene Pro-V is going to be buying them blinding laser pointers.
Probably not. Probably not. It seemed just like, but she's so adamant that it's like, I'm glad we Googled. Okay. I'm glad we spread awareness because she just seems like a hater or like,
right.
or someone that just blows shit out of proportion.
I mean, Alex did also break her ankle. So like,
yeah, no, that she should have started with. I think
that is what she started with. And then she was like, that should have been her finish.
She said, what about you blind me with a laser pointer during my first and only debate? Or you trip me on the way to the whatever, and I had to quit the team. She says that second.
Oh, does she? Okay.
She says that shit.
Yeah, I don't
second.
Know.
And are you referring to this floor lacrosse team? By the way, I have only ever played lacrosse outdoors outside of like gym class, but I think on gym class,
girls' sports are only allowed to be indoors at Degrassi. I don't know if it's a Canadian thing or just a Degrassi thing, but
no, you don't have access to the fields. You're not allowed out there. Your estrogen.
That's why everybody gets all mad about Jane joining the football team is because the girls aren't allowed to be active outside.
Clearly, that's the case.
It causes the men to stumble. What happened at the sexy car wash.
We can't give the ladies access to the fields. We will stumble. There's just 7 fields just sitting there. I'm like, this is weird. This is weird. And I also find it, I like that this is something that comes up, but like we see Serena like maybe one more time.
No, or is this we it? Have a black this hole it? This episode. This is it.
Damn.
And like, I'm sorry, like, don't we need new characters? Everybody's graduating.
Yeah, she's like if she's not a senior, she's a junior.
I would assume she's like a junior.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, yeah, no, I just like,
all we've got is Darcy and Peter and Danny and Derek.
And Shantae.
And Shantae.
Shantae is also there, I should say.
Surely she's there, but does she do anything? Does it matter?
Lurking in the shadows like actual
Mia,
cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
Right. JT for now. Toby for now.
Well, yeah, but those are all junior or seniors. Mia is a sophomore.
Oh my god, they are. Mia's for some reason
somehow. Danny is a junior.
Is she a sophomore? I thought she was
no,
in the
he's
same
a sophomore.
Class as Darcy.
No, Dan. No, I think Mia's a sophomore. I think she's in the same
That'd
class
be
as Danny.
Nasty. Danny's a sophomore.
I think we have established this, and I still think it's established that
Danny came into our lives as a freshman.
Oh my God, you're right, because when Mia starts modeling...
Wait, does that make Danny a junior?
That when Mia starts modeling, her and Leia, and for some reason, Peter goes and is a part of their class.
Yeah, Peter just never graduates.
Does anyone... I don't care enough.
Was Peter younger all along? Like, is Peter only a junior this year?
Yeah, because
He a sophomore when Emma dated him when she was a junior? Is that what we're saying?
I think so, but does something happen that makes him get held back and stay in Darcy's class? Because
what could possibly happen for the boy, like the fucking Teflon Degrassi student? Nothing.
Nothing.
Not a damn thing sticks to him. He literally planted drugs in a locker. He literally did child porn. He literally did child softcore porn. He literally did fucking had a hand in almost killing a dude. He spikes punch. He's a like and like at most, I think he's served like 10 weeks detention total.
Oh God. I don't even know. Dude, I wish I knew just what to do. It's like
to make my secret wish of Peter not being on Degrassi come true.
Surely. I really don't know what it's like, what the logistics are, because I wish that they didn't make it so fucking hard to figure out who's in what grade.
Right?
Like, because then Anya and fucking Sav come along and Mia's still there. She's doesn't look that different.
Doesn't Mia have a crush on Sav for a minute?
Yes, yes. And I think that I think that's season 7.
I don't know. I don't want to, like,
dear
it's
God,
like.
Dear God, I just don't care about anybody from Lakehurst, and I'm going to be honest. Don't care. The only good that comes out of that is maybe Holly J, and that's debatable. I love Holly J, but it takes a while, and she's just a dick, and we've got to go through. And I fear by the time that we go through the arc of all, like, we just talk about everything that makes her terrible, I'm gonna hate her, because so far I love me some Paige, but I'm like, oh, if they killed Paige, would I be saying the same thing, like, Paige wasn't a great person? Because she shows up in this episode and she stink.
She is an asshole in this episode. I don't think that that's, like...
No, I would really
be fucking
gutted. It's not
indicative of Paige being...
I would
being...
be gutted if Paige died. Let me set that for the record.
Yeah,
if
no, it, was, it would
if
be
it
a
was
true
Paige
tragedy.
Instead of JT that died in that puddle of piss, if you don't know, this show is... 20 years old, but I don't care.
Yeah, no, we've established we're trying hard not to spoil next class.
We will, right, like, that's the most, like, that is still, like, 10 years in the bin, like, less than, I think, something
right,
like
that. I can't even get a job yet, at least for now.
Child labor laws are active. So, yeah, no, it just feels like... There was definitely a really good balance between things that are going to last, as far as, because I feel like this is the beginning of Alex's slide down back where she was in, like, the dumps. Because I really think that, like, what we saw of her in the summer was her being a Fast and Furious flag girl.
Mm-hmm.
We saw none of this desiring to be a physiotherapist, like, where that came from, which I love. I'm wondering, is it partially inspired by Jimmy? Is it, like, something that she feels, like, morally compelled to do now that she has confined one person, had a hand in confining one person to a wheelchair? Now she feels like she has to help people potentially overcome, you know, physical limitations.
I think it's definitely possible.
Yeah, because, like, I was like, otherwise, you know, where does it come from? But it just feels like a lot of growth that's immediately snatched back.
which I am really sad for because I love this version of Alex. I love Alex.
Does the growth really get snatched back? I mean...
Well, the hunger, I would say, because in a couple of episodes, Paige bites it. And Alex is like not right there because she susses out the bullshit. But like she kind of gloms back onto Paige and it.
Yeah, all of but that. I feel like that's more like, okay, the growth has happened, but growth isn't linear and there's going to be some backsliding. And so the growth happens and then the backsliding happens so that Alex can remember why she's growing and continue to grow. I don't think like, and you know, I'm happy to accuse the Degrassi writers of throwing away character development, but that's not what I see with Alex. I see, you know, old habits and hard circumstances.
And I agree with that. I definitely agree that growth is not linear. I think that what I'm wondering is where does this, like, especially what Paige goes on to point out about, like, Alex's nonchalantness about a job and this and that and, like, ambition. Like, it just feels like in this episode, she's all gung-ho. Like, I need to fix my marks so that I can get into a school and a physio program. And then it kind of doesn't materialize in any other episode, as far as I recall, about her really trying to continue to grind and like get better marks so that she can apply to a program.
Yeah, no, and that's certainly fair.
That is what I was just like, okay, Paige comes back and she's like, yeah, Banting is so great, blah, blah, blah. And she does not really congratulate or acknowledge the big deal. I mean, she's like, I'm proud of you, kind of, but I think she kind of understates.
She's not at all. Like, it's because I don't think Paige can wrap the Paige is so up her own ass about the importance of Banting and the importance of, like, being, you know, driven right now in the way that she's driven that she can't wrap her head around the concept, even as this changed Alex is standing in front of her, that like Alex could have that kind of shift while still at Degrassi.
And that's
not going to college,
but like, and I think that that is definitely a testament to like how one track minded and like, if it doesn't look like this, it's not an accomplishment Paige can be. And she just, like, essentially what Paige does in this conversation is she knocks her down a peg. Like, and, like, I don't think it fully sets in maybe until Serena's like, you don't remember me. And you had to, you know, especially when she's triggered because she had to ask Hatzilakos her name. Right. Like, she looks personally fucking offended at that point. She's like, I'm about to wreck your shit. Like, it's very much like Paige is like, well, you know, it's not that easy to change. Like, you can, her whole line about like the spot, this tiger and the stripes, like, it's just, it's not fair. And it is very judgmental, especially when I can sense that Alex's energy is different and she is really like being very practical about the whole thing. Like, I need better marks if I'm going to apply and get into a decent program. Like, right. I need to get my grades up. Like, a lot of people would just be like, I already did it. I already went to school. It's done. I'm going to apply to somewhere and then maybe I can transfer somewhere new. What after however long. Like, no, Alex wants to get into a really good program first.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and, no, I admire what Alex is doing. Definitely. Yeah,
and I really wish that like we had got, and I feel like what takes the wind out of her sails, feeling like she could like rise above her circumstances, is this interaction.
Of just, I think, like, that's fair. I think that's fair. I think that,
and maybe that's why Serena is like such a, but she's a plot device, but she's a powerful plot device, and maybe that's what has me thinking like, there's got to be more of this girl, but there's not, because she's a plot device. She's done very well, but it feels like she is just brought in to kind of like let Alex know that like
She kind of gives us the character development that the writers couldn't be bothered with.
Yeah.
And, like, it's still not there. We don't really see Alex do better by Serena anyway. But, correct, like, we see her have to face her actions.
Right.
And we're like, oh, she's learned. And so by that, like, yeah, no, Serena's really interesting. And I wish we got more of Serena.
There may be a new
Justice Four sticker coming.
Right. I swore we did, because she plays her role very well. The actress, she is extremely convincing. A lot of, like, even once you're reading her actions in the beginning of, like, throwing the carrots and stuff, like, I'm sorry, Alex is outside. She's not in a library. She is literally outside in a space where people chat, have their lunch, literally play fucking hacky sack and shit, and, like, skateboard. Why are you expecting library quiet?
Crash their cars into the bus stop.
Crash their fucking cars into the bus stop across the street. Alex, I need you to get it together and either take your ass to the library, take your ass to a meadow, or shut the hell up, because they're really not, like...
Go down to the ravine.
Go down to the fucking ravine, climb into the blowjob wagon. There's probably nobody in there in the daylight. Like, I need you to get it together, because there's no reasonable expectation of quiet where you are.
Right.
Like, are they being annoying? Yes. They ain't talking about shit. They are not talking about, like, a damn thing, but they have the right to be talking at the volume they're talking at, because it's a public space. No, but I don't think that they're talking, like, the actual scene, the background noise is not quiet. Like, it's not like they're the only ones being loud.
No, no.
There's other people, there's a cacophony of bullshit happening. And Alex
is
mad at
them. Yeah, it is a weird, like, interaction. It's
I would throw a carrot at her, too. I'm low-key.
That escalated quickly.
I'd bully her. No, it's just, like, she's very... For me, I'm a very considerate person, especially in public spaces. Not saying everybody needs to be, is, or should be. But I feel like there's something called a reasonable expectation. If you're in a library, there is a reasonable expectation of quiet. And if you're not adhering to that, I'm a bust your shit. Because you should be respecting the public space that you're in. Just because it's a public space doesn't mean you have the right to blast music, doesn't mean you have the right to have a loud phone conversation. But if you're outside, yes, there are tables here, and one of the purposes that they could be used for is studying. But people also eat here. People also have club meetings here. People also just chill and talk to their friends here. It is not a one space location.
Right.
And a one-purpose location, and you have no reasonable expectation to privacy or quiet. So I don't know why she's being, like, it's unreasonable, essentially. Like, she's not in the media center or anything, where she was the only person in there, and then they just walked in and started being crazy, like, nah, take, go, because I was in here studying. No, they didn't walk up after she's seeing her sit there studying and start making a bunch of noise. They were sitting there. She was sitting there. What's the problem?
Yeah, no, I agree.
It just feels like they're setting Serena up to look like an asshole. And when you're a kid, you're like, yeah, she's a jerk. Alex is just trying to study. Let her study. But it's like, as an adult, nah, Alex should have just left. Alex should have went and found somewhere else to be. Or put headphones on, or, like, or something else, like, instead of being like, I'm gonna deck you, if that can, I'm gonna harm you with physical violence if you don't shut up in this public place.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Alex is...
She comes off as a bully.
Alex is out of line. And Serena... I think it's because she's still breaking that,
yes,
like,
old habits, you know, go to rest hard.
And I don't know, you just are going to have to, like, this is the growth and development we get from Alex.
And I love her still.
And now she plays lacrosse, and she's sorry for that time that she almost blinded Serena.
She is, even though she doesn't remember.
In her defense, she was really excited because that laser pointer with blinding ability was the single nicest thing she had ever owned.
She remembers the laser pointer, but not the crimes.
She was trying to blind Rick. And it actually like ricocheted off of Rick's glasses and into Serena's eye. It was all a big misunderstanding.
Oh my gosh, we've got lore with the laser pointer here. Yeah. It's a good B plot. I feel like the intensity from both actresses is there, and I really appreciate it. Like the general statement of like how bullying usually is something that someone is expressing because they're in pain and they're randomizing it and they're not thinking about who they're hurting. This is putting a face to, you might not think you're hurting someone, but you are hurting someone.
Right. Actions have consequences.
Mm-hmm. And Alex is a growing young lady, okay? No judgment. You might want to kind of take record of your body count, though. In this context, body count means how many people you harmed. But not who throws carrots? Who throws carrots, honestly?
I don't know, that's what she had. Are we ready to drag ourselves through this A-plot?
Drag is very appropriate. Like, they drag Jimmy around that
it's
little makeshift
not
store
like it's a bad
trying to
plot.
Take his box. Trying to take that box. This plot is very peak spinner himbo energy. Because yeah. Who reveals to random people.
All cash, baby.
All cash, baby. Even the nicest of folk would think about robbing you. Like, probably. Like, what if I just take a couple off the top? They would notice.
I would
these
be like, you know, like, you could totally justify it as, like, honestly, they need to learn before they get robbed by somebody who will kill them.
Because like, these two gentlemen did not bring bats or a knife or anything.
No,
they were like,
I'm just going to grab Jimmy by the collar a little bit.
I'm going to bring my two fists to this situation. Crime and punishment. I'm going to fuck them up if they try to take on me or my brother. Cousin. I don't know.
Brother, cousin. Some relation.
Brother, cousin. It feels like it does feel like we're going to make sure you guys, you boys learn. Because someone might really try to hurt you next time.
No might weapons. Take you for more than a couple $100.
I really want to know why. Like, how much money was in that fucking box? If it was all
you
of
couldn't,
it, why?
Like, find a cash register at a junk shop?
So that Spinner's dumbass couldn't throw open the lid.
No, he just hit the button and then ding.
Ding. All cash.
All I
want to
do is.
That's probably the reason why they did not get a cash register. They're like, we don't want to give him reasons or ideas. It just is so stupid because, of course, this episode has to, like, make us forget. And I'm thinking, like, why are we getting a career aptitude test that says Jimmy's supposed to be a lawyer? Where did the artist go? Why are none of his options artistic in any sense of the word? And then Spinner in the next scene is like, what happened to being an artist? And I'm like, okay, the Degrassi writers are covering their asshole. But
I love that Spinner gets clown, lumberjack, and cop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Same.
I actually want to go back to the very beginning, though.
Mm-hmm.
And talk
Darcy
about
Darcy and Spinner.
Yeah. She's so unnecessarily like bitchy in this. She's like, she comes over and she's like, I want to talk about what happened between us.
Mm-hmm. And he's gauging she's gauging. That's what she's
doing. And then she's like, it's good we broke up. There was something missing. Like, he's the fucking problem.
She?
Like, frankly, if you wanted to be a slut, he would have been down. You told him you didn't want to be a slut, so he gave his heart to Christ for you.
He surely did hand over his heart to Christ for her.
And then you were like, I want to be a slut. You know
what's missing? His dick. That's what's missing. Because you
told him you didn't want
it. Put it in a little box. You told him you can't use it. It's not right. And if you think it's, if you think it's right, then you're messed up in the head, spinner. Why do you think that?
There's nothing wrong with being slutty. There is nothing wrong with being pure and chaste.
It should be a choice, though. Like, an actual choice. Not coercion. There is
absolutely something wrong with, like, the fucking back and forth mind games that Darcy was playing, whether that was what she was trying to do or not.
Right. Like, have your own teenage confusion. Don't bring somebody else into this. Like, he was confused enough. And now he's double confused because he's like, you made me into what you said was the perfect guy for you. Now you're saying something's missing. And yes, to be clear, she baits him because she is trying to see how he feels about the situation. And once she realizes that she's still got him, that's when she flips it. Because for her, she can only really engage with this situation if she has the upper hand for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. Because Darcy's the worst.
It's weird. She's the worst. I don't like it. Spinner is he's a very lovable himbo who just went along with things because he wanted to make her happy and he cared about her.
Exactly.
He struggled the whole time with her, trying to make himself, and this is a good reason why doing that ultimately harms you more than anyone else. Like, of course the person sucks for trying to do that to you. But not being authentic to yourself is it's detrimental. Being a people pleaser, trying to like adhere to what someone wants you to be, their version of what of you, is like very harmful to your psyche. It's you really have to separate what is you and what is what they want you to be.
Right.
And she is mind fucked Spinner. To the point where, like, Spinner is having an identity crisis in this episode. And he's like, I've got to glom onto somebody because I'm not going to clown college. And clearly the Christian route is, the bridge is burned. Can't go back to friendship club now. I'm not going to be a minister anymore.
That wasn't his plan, was it? Did I miss that?
No, but I feel like that he had some sort of, like, twisted, I'm gonna follow Darcy to whatever 5-year plan she's got, and then I'm gonna just like,
oh god, I could totally see the church. I could see Spinner following Darcy to like Christian college and then becoming like the drummer in a Christian band.
I was gonna say he's gonna get involved in like not a good
one.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not one that makes it mainstream, like, you know. There's a lot of them, actually.
Ones that I found out about and I was like, okay, well,
right, like we all knew Creed, but like Flyleaf, so Evanescence.
When I found out about Flyleaf, I was really sad.
I like only remember that one song of theirs.
Yeah, but that's a good song.
It was a good song.
And it's like, damn you, you Christians, you ruin everything, you bastards.
Okay, I don't know that we need to take it that far. I believe that your mom's podcast official stance is that we are against oppressive Christianity.
I think what it is, it's like, I grew up I went to a religious elementary school, and then or Catholic elementary school. It was K-8, but I only went until 5th. And then I, for some reason, was like, let me go to a culty ass college. So there was just points where, like, I would listen to music and I would think it was, like, secular. It'd be very convincing. And then I hear something in it. Something said. And I'm like, mm-mm. What was that? What was that one lyric? What was that one lyric? That sounded like Christian music.
I don't know. Christian music is not something that I'm like into. And there is Christian music that I don't hate. And like, yes, there are two Reliant K songs on my like nostalgia pop playlist. And yes, sometimes I sing them with my whole fucking chest, and I'm not going to apologize for that.
Listen, everybody in the Black community loves Kirk Franklin. Everybody loves Mary Mary. We have our songs that have invaded,
I mean,
the cultural lexicon. For Christ's sake, BET still insists on having a gospel section in every BET awards, which I have always.
Gospel music is incredible.
It is, but I've always used that as my extended bathroom break. Not even gonna lie to you. Every time I've watched the BET awards, because I can go to church on Sunday for this. I don't need this on the BET awards. I'm sorry.
But you're not going to church on Sunday.
I did when I was a child by force.
That's fair.
Either my auntie would come pick me up or my parents would make me go.
But no, I don't feel like gospel's a whole other thing. Like, and yes, it is Christian music, but like, no, I've actually lamented for a while. Like, can we get some secular gospel music? Can someone please start a secular gospel band, or like do gospel covers of existing secular music? Like, please.
I know the couple rappers who have done that have just done like gospel songs within their rap music.
Yeah, no, see,
which is like that's not quite the vibe. Like, I love a choir. That's why I love Sister Act so much.
No, I know, dude, fucking Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit, that fucking performance of Ode to Joy. Only thing that makes me feel that feels closer to a religious experience is watching Kesha do praying live. If I need like a dose of church, I watch that scene.
You are very serious. You're like, cut the cameras.
It has a special place in my heart. Forrest is always so confused when he like overhears me watching that scene, because he doesn't really notice it unless he notices that Lauryn Hill is singing. Because sometimes in the other room, he'll be like, is that Lauryn Hill? But then otherwise he doesn't.
Faux pays attention to what's important.
Otherwise, he doesn't notice until he gets to the You Down With G.O.D. And every time he assumes I'm watching like some sort of weird parody thing.
That movie is so good.
It's so good.
I really just want to start watching movies. Maybe we can do that on live one day instead of doing a live, because live is getting understimulating.
And we haven't done a live in forever.
That's probably why.
But no, we could just like, yeah, one of us can set up a mirror, because that's how you show stuff on live. I've found.
Yeah, you flip it.
And then we'll both be there watching it and having a gay old time. Okay, we have to. This episode, we put off this episode. Guys, confession time. It's not even necessarily that there's anything wrong with this episode. It's just that we put off recording it for so long that it has come to feel like a chore. And like, no offense, we hate this episode.
And also,
which
this
is
episode,
honestly a shame, because it's got some great lines. Like, I'm turning you into the next John John and Dutchie and Gabbana.
You mean Sean John? Yeah.
And did you clock Spinner's poem at the beginning?
No, you can go ahead. It made me chuckle, but
cue like the Romeo and Juliet music.
Dun, dun, dun,
dun, they paid for that once and they were like, we are going to use this forever. She said there would always be an us. Then she crushed my heart with a bus. I pledged abstinence and faith because she said 'twas forever, but now it's just me.
Yeah, he's hurt bad.
I also want to, like, it's a minor thing, but in the montage, the, like, selling t-shirts montage.
Oh my God.
The part where Ellie holds up the paper where they're on the front page and then she's got to, like, point to the design on Jimmy's shirt.
It pissed me off.
And it's like, this is why I hate Ellie. And it's not her fault. It's not her fault that somebody,
you know what,
was it somebody, Snake? Did Mr. Snake look at her and say, okay, now I want you to point at
it. You need to point at it. That pissed me off. It really did. It made her look so stupid. Yeah, my note about that montage is like, I'm so happy for you guys. You went from selling out of a cardboard box, maybe, and to selling out of everything in that cardboard box. Maybe tomorrow you should rent a table and you should set it up.
Right, set up at like local fucking craft fairs and farmers markets and shit.
No, right to a storefront.
If I can get tables at school events. No.
There is no,
it is cardboard box or it is storefront.
Yeah, we're not fucking around. Like, we want an established
so hard they needed a fucking lease.
And literally, I thought they were going to be like, it's been a cool 2 weeks. No, this was their first time selling these shirts. No offense to, like, Spinner. He is a dumb himbo and sweet. He is not thinking about the practicality of running a business. But Jimmy, you were supposed to be an aptitudinal lawyer.
Right.
Why well, are you letting him? This is bad business after one day.
And like, okay, here's the thing. It's like, fuck Mr. Brooks for the most part, right? Like, he's still an asshole. And like, when he like looks at Jimmy and is like, you can't be wasting time on silly dreams like these. It sounds like what he's saying is you've already embarrassed me by being in this wheelchair. Do not further embarrass me by being an artist and a retailer, right? And so, like, yes, fuck Mr. Brooks, but it is also 100% reasonable for that man to say, Jimmy,
what are you doing?
You can't take money out of your academic fund to lease a store because you sold t-shirts for a day and you did good.
No, seriously, though, I think that that's something that needs to be, like, said by someone who's not an asshole. Then perhaps the delivery might have, then it, like, the message might have been heard. But like, I just want to know why Jimmy went with that, even if he was willing to invest $1,000, that, which is crazy that he's $1,000.
We don't know that he's investing $1,000. We know that Spinner is investing $1,000.
No, that's what I said. I said the fact that Jimmy is letting him, like, even if Jimmy's like, okay, he has the $1,000 to invest, I, like, from a business standpoint, Jimmy should still not let, like, that's not shit. That's not, even that, and even then, to run a business and get a storefront, why isn't Jimmy like, let's take this $1,000 and go buy a table and a little tent to go over that table in case it rains?
Right. Like, right. Why not? And let's spend some time finding places we can set up our table. And you know what? Actually, a lot of the time, I don't think you even need the table. You just need the little tent thing.
You need the little tent, and you could do like.
The craft fair has the table.
Right. The craft fair will have the table there. You don't, you could just pay for craft fairs and have your stuff on like display structures, like how you do. And I mean, they bring all that stuff to the store. It's not like the store had that shit. Like they had that shit, the display items. So I don't understand why Jimmy lets him and then blames him for it. Like, Jimmy, you participated in this. This is dumb from the jump. From the very beginning. This is stupid.
It's. From the moment that we like are like, let's jump from a box to a like selling out of a box.
Yes, when we
good idea.
Sell out of the box. It's low cost. It's mobile. You can always fill up that box and go on and go to different places in the city. But when you are fixing yourself, like dumbass, Dylan wants to say, you need hydro, you need overhead, you need banking, bookkeeping. Like when you are at taxes, when you run a business with a storefront, with a physical location, you have all of these added expenses that they're not thinking about because they've been in business for precisely a day and a half. Like,
well, and like you're selling to a very small, like you've sold out at the college, but are you going to sell out at the college again tomorrow? Probably. But are you going to sell out at the college again 2 weeks from now?
Right.
Without
a brand new design, a brand new drop? No. People are only going to buy the same coupled shirts. And like, okay, maybe they'll go back and get some, like, couple other colors, couple other designs. But people are not going to furnish
the same design, just done like different ways, different sizes, and some of them have color and whatever. And like, yes, but it's
and they're it's paying not a bad Marco's shirt. It's a cute shirt for the what did they say the like on spec or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have Marco's dad loan us some t-shirts on spec. I think means like, okay, we believe we are going to make this amount of money selling mm-hmm. the t-shirts. So can you loan us the t-shirts? And then once we have the money, we will break you off this percentage of that. That's what I believe spec to mean. I'm not fucking Googling it. So, yeah. And it's a good plan initially, but when you're bringing in a physical location, there's a lot of established.
It goes off the rails so fast.
There's so many established retailers of business, like various forms of business, not just a clothing retailer that don't have a fixed location because it is so expensive. Why do you think on day two, you are ready to have a storefront?
Right? Like, I don't know. I feel like you could have thrown the core a cut and it could have been something that people could buy at the core office.
That would have been cute. You could have definitely that would have been because they're the fifth largest fucking newspaper in Toronto or whatever the dumb shit. Or is it the third?
You could have gone to like the campus bookstore. You could have gone to coffee shops. You could have like that would have been if you're not going to do tables, that's the logical next step. Find places that will sell your shit for you for a small cut.
Right. I think that would have been something that one wouldn't have blown up in their faces because they had to make Jimmy's whole artist dream die. It can't live anymore. It's got to die. So how best to do it? Have his ass almost get rocked in his wheelchair behind little, like, less than $1,000, I'm sure.
Not rocked in his wheelchair.
They were fucking, like, trying to tip his ass over. It was very rude.
Yeah, no, it looked like something out of, like...
like a really corny warning video.
About punks.
Yes! Youths. Like, it's just so bad. He's like, Spitter, help! He's like, fight for... Listen, his whole life is in that little box. He's like, this last 36 hours... This money is so important because we don't have anywhere to put this money except a sock. So we keep it here. Why is all that money there, Caroline?
Because it's only day two. They haven't set up a bank account yet.
Jeez. So stupid. So fucking stupid. Who did they contact to move into that building that fucking fast?
Well, okay, so maybe that's what happened is they did really good selling t-shirts for a day, but then it took like a week or two.
I hope that's what happened because what dumbass, like,
but they like, did definitely slumlord. Like at the end of their first day of selling t-shirts go let's rent a fucking building.
Walk by the first storefront they saw. the
not
first.
Not to victim blame.
But to victim blame. They kind of set themselves
they
the
had
fuck
it coming.
Up. They had it coming.
If you'd have been there, if you'd have seen it. How could you tell me tell. That I was wrong?
They had it coming. They really did. It's so bad because you literally set yourself the fuck up. You know, this
really?
Wouldn't have happened if you were selling out of a cardboard box still.
It wouldn't have.
Those montages were quite sunny and friendly. And then you went into that dank, narrow dungeon.
Right, there's nobody to hear you scream.
Literally.
Right? Like, people are going to notice if you fucking rock the kid in a wheelchair on the fucking busy
fucking
corner.
Dream.
You know, at the college green.
I was so pissed off that it was daylight. I was pissed because it looked so dark in that fucking shop. And it's just, and Spinner's just strolling down the street with a latte.
Right, they had a fight, like Spinner went and got a coffee.
Spinner didn't even go that far. Like, I bet his ass went a block and down around the corner. And it is broad daylight. They have not peeled the newspaper off of the fucking windows. They still have it, like, dungeon vibes in there.
Yeah,
no one's seeing Jimmy get his ass kicked.
Right, why is the store open when they haven't even finished? Like, it's none of it makes any sense.
None of it makes any sense. It's giving.
But it reinforces that Jimmy should be a lawyer and not have right. any, like, dreams of being creative at all. He definitely shouldn't be a rapper.
He shouldn't. But, like, it's giving the, like, it's dead frosh, stop pitching it. Because, like, they just want us to forget that Jimmy was ever a mediocre artist.
Right.
Emphasis on the mediocre.
I mean, Jimmy's a fine artist, and I think that art school is a
reasonable... I'm referring to the mural. The LA
okay,
mural.
That
was
mural
a terrible likeness. That was terrible. All of those people looked really
bad.
That's
because
he is not a muralist. He is not a muralist. We need to know
He's
our
not
medium.
A muralist.
We need to know our medium.
But
yes.
But no, I think Jimmy has potential as an artist. I think art school is a reasonable path for Jimmy. I can see Jimmy being a successful, like, t-shirt designer.
Right. And they actually do work very well together, but they just have grandiose ideas that literally neither of them brings each other down from.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy is supposed to be the more reasonable one in the equation. And at no point does he say, maybe we should not make the leap from cardboard box to storefront. That's like making a leap from a Toyota to a plane. That no one knows how to fucking drive the plane. We don't have our pilot's license.
Real talk, I kind of want one of those t-shirts, though.
They're cute t-shirts.
I wonder, like, what happened to them? Because Degrassi made, like, hundreds
70,
of them, it would
100.
Seem.
Yeah. Maybe they're auction. Maybe you can get them on whoever bought all of the set props. Because, you know, there's a person who did that. Yeah. They're cool shirts. Let me see my notes. So if I don't have anything, we could just segue.
Yeah, I don't.
This show keeps trying to make Dylan relevant, and I really want them to stop. Stop giving this man lines.
I did like
stop
that, like,
it.
Ashley was
supportive,
like, looking out for not just Jimmy, but Spinner, too.
Yes. Right. She's like, I think you should do it, because he's like, listen, I got my college fund. I'm good. And she's like, Jimmy, you should do this. Ashley has been very good this whole season. Like, she's been very understanding, meeting people where they're at. And I think her career choices are very reflective of her growth as a person, of just, like, wanting to be in people's business, but perhaps in a way that's more appropriate. in a way where she can actually constructively help, because I do think that she mediated and kind of made the situation between Spinner and Jimmy better. Because like it or not, Jimmy enjoys being Spinner's friend. It would be different if he didn't fucking like Spinner, but he likes Spinner.
And he loves Spinner.
He loves Spinner. And they keep, like, they're friends, they're besties. Like, he needs to stop acting like, just because Spinner's a little bit of a, I'm going to ride your coattails if that's cool, doesn't mean he doesn't love him and isn't loyal. Because that's one thing that Spinner's going to do is, like, see, like, try to capitalize on
I don't think it's like a selfish driven thing. Like, I don't think that he's drawn to Jimmy because of Jimmy's coattails, right? Mm-hmm. But he's like, he wants he and Jimmy to live their best life. And he's like, I don't have any talent to bring to the table.
Right.
You, however, have talent and your daddy's money.
And he's doing all the work. And honestly, Jimmy does have a complacency about him, because his father has made it clear what his expectations are. And he's like sounding like his dad, like, art is not a career. Like, I'm going to be a lawyer. Like, that pays the bill, whatever. Like, he is very, this is not him talking. You know, this is not necessarily what he like dreamt about. And he's only really conceding because he knows he can be good at being a lawyer. And art isn't a lucrative business. Art is not a lucrative field to get into necessarily. But Spinner has got that drive to, like, you know, do the and put the work in. He's like, we can get these shirts done. We can do it this way. We can do this and this and this. And he has not. And Jimmy just does not have any of that drive because he's not. He hasn't had to.
Right.
And right. Spinner
is a fucking powerful force. He just doesn't bring, like, the creativity to the table, and you're gonna have to invest a little more than he does, because the dot doesn't pay that well.
It really doesn't.
It's frankly impressive that he's saved a cool grand.
It took him so long to save that money for his
especially while he was dating Darcy, because I refuse to believe that Darcy is a cheap girlfriend.
Oh no, I doubt it. She needed a lot emotionally. She needed a lot from him monetarily.
Even if he wasn't, like, getting her gifts all the time, he was paying for all of their dates. And you know that she wasn't just, like,
he was satisfied gassing up the car,
with, like, grabbing a hot dog in the park.
No, dates, gas, tolls. No. It adds up.
Okay. I don't really think I have anything
noteworthy.
Oh, I did think it was cute when Spinner said, that's like 10 of my favorite songs played at the same time, turned up to 11.
Oh, yeah. It was very cute. They had a, like, their dynamic in this episode was adorable.
It was old Spinner and Jimmy coming together to create something better than that rap.
Finally.
Finally.
Paige says she's been playing all night poker, which I feel like could potentially be.
Yeah, no, Paige doesn't, like, it's not super obvious, but, like, it's coming.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we have this thing that Paige does that she, like, is trying to make everything seem all honky-dory. And, like, she is living the glamorous life. But some of the things she says, especially about, like, being up all night, which is supposed to be typical college stuff. She's only been there a couple of months. I don't know. I saw a couple red flags and how she's really not trying to talk about herself. And just kind of trying to talk about other people and their shit. But, yeah.
Are you ready to go down to the corner?
Absolutely.
Is it still your favorite corner?
It once today. Today it is, because it's going to be brief. No, yeah, it's typically my favorite corner. Still.
I mean, it is our only corner, so it really, even if it's your least favorite corner, it's also your favorite corner. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know. I just don't get excited for the fashion the way that I did in the first few seasons.
It's kind of, it peaks, and it there's an ebb and a flow. I feel like when we get into more exciting costuming, and mm-hmm. there will be more to talk about. I feel like Fashion Corner is going to undergo a renaissance in a couple of seasons when they really start dressing them differently.
That's legit.
But yeah, the fashion in this episode was just very not great. I didn't have a lot of standout. I feel like I liked Ashley's outfit, her off the shoulder pink.
Yeah, that was one of mine.
Yeah. I thought Paige and Alex looked like Bobsy twins.
Yeah, I like Alex in this style, but it also feels weird. Mm-hmm. And then everybody else is just kind of wearing squatch wear. Mm-hmm. And it's not that they're not cool t-shirts and they're like styled well and whatever, but like,
mm-hmm.
there just wasn't really any fashion.
No. I really didn't even take a screenshot. I was just like, okay, I will mentally note that that was something that kind of caught my eye. But there's so, we talk about the t-shirts. The t-shirts are really the focus of the episode. Mm-hmm. They are, Jimmy and Spinner are wearing them, and Jesse, and possibly Dylan, I want to say, but definitely Jesse. Jesse is definitely wearing one. Like, I enjoy, but like, it, I'm going to be honest, men's fashion tends to be very drab and like does not change per once every like 100 years or something like that. Like, it just, it's not very interesting. The patterns, the designs on the shirts are cool. Like Caroline said, they get kind of repetitive. They're different colors. Jimmy's dad doesn't like pink, who is surprised.
I know, he's so like, why do you have to say that? Like, it just so happens that the shirt he handed you is a pink one. Mm-hmm. You can see that they have boxes. These shirts are everywhere. Everybody's wearing one.
Right.
It's, like, why couldn't you have not been a dick and just been like, how much are you selling these for? Can I have a green one?
Right. Because he wouldn't be his good old dad. He has an asshole quota to hit. Yeah, it's not good. It, like, the fashion is just not very strong other than the focal point of the t-shirts. I just really don't. Like, Ashley, like I said, I like her shirt. I like her off-the-shoulder pink shirt. They don't usually put her in pink. Mm-hmm. So I think it was very striking. Very pretty on her.
Mm. I would agree with that. Yeah, no, but there's not a lot going on.
Truly.
People were there. They wore clothes.
There's someone wearing really bright, like, lime green pants during the t-shirt montage. And I was like, those are expressive. Other than that, no one really stood out.
We do have a black hole.
Mm-hmm.
Which we already discussed, which is Serena, who could have had so much potential.
They could have kept her around, but also they kind of drop Alex being in school, too.
Mm-hmm. But they still have other people at school.
Right. They could have kept Serena on, maybe not. And maybe that's why they dropped her, because they were like, we're going to drop Alex out of school as well. But, like, either way, it's not my favorite thing, because I think that Serena is one of the most promising characters, and she's very memorable to the point where I thought that she was in more episodes. Mm-hmm. And then being like, you're like, no, she's not. And I'm like, oh. She made a big impression.
Yeah, no, this one hurts a little.
Yeah, she made a really big impression. I think that
she deserved more. She gave, literally, this actress gave everything she had. The rent was due, and she probably paid it early because of her performance here. Like, she just was very convincing. And I wanted Alex to apologize to her and remember who the fuck she was. But yeah. Sorry, well, Serena. It would have
been cute to, like, see them kind of, like, not become friends, because you don't have to, like, you don't have to, like, let people who hurt you be your friend, you know? Right,
but at least have, like...
But, like, have them have kind of a, like, begrudging respect of one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have enjoyed that. I feel like that would have been a nice opportunity for Alex, as, like, giving Alex another storyline into after this one, and then also giving this actress who plays Serena an opportunity to continue what is obviously a really good role for her. Missed opportunity.
Oh well.
Oh well. So too bad. So sad. Anyway,
that's Degrassi for ya.
All right. So we got another. Do we have a hung count, or are we firing shots? All right. Let's fire some shots then.
Pew 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 pew. Pew, pew, pew. Shots fired.
All right, my first one was Darcy saying it was the right thing to do. There was something missing.
Oh, fuck you. Boo. This is... Oh, brother. My first one is Jimmy saying, you're not sitting at home writing these sad, I'm going to kill myself poems. Yeah.
Yeah, I had one before that, which was pull it together, man. I can't have a basket case sporting my gear.
Mm-hmm. I had Serena saying, trying to graduate before you turn 30. Good luck.
I have Paige saying, well, sweetie, a tiger can't change its stripes overnight.
Right before that, I have Paige's bitch ass also saying, there's the bitter girl I used to know.
It's so cunty. I have Jimmy's dad saying, son, you can't afford to chase these little dreams.
Mm-hmm. Ash saying, well, it ain't pretty, but the customers don't seem to mind.
I have Jimmy saying, in 10 years, I will be practicing law in New York and you'll be twisting balloon animals in North York.
Yeah, can we talk about how Jimmy is always ready to, like, with coming at the, like, with the upstairs, downstairs shit? Like, he's yes. always ready and locked and loaded with that shit. And as on one hand, I appreciate it because we hardly see this narrative with a young black man being able to say this to a young white man. On the other hand, man, fuck you. Because you're always a little bit too ready to say that shit. Okay. And moving on. My next one is Serena saying, you're a hateful bitch, Alex. That's all you're ever going to be.
That was my last one.
That one was kind of, she quite, yeah, she ate with that. That was good. She's so well. Snaps and claps for you, because that, you came in one episode and made such an impression.
And I just want to throw it out there to our listeners, because we've been doing better about taking notes that include trivia questions so that yes. I don't have to go back at the end of the season and scramble to find them.
Yes, and there I was just trivia. Let you all
know, there are, I have 6 trivia questions in my notes from this episode.
Mm-hmm. I have 4. So
we might have 10.
We might have 10. Yeah, that's very cool. Trivia will be here before you know it. So, like, we announce it. We do it all through our Facebook group, but I guess it's a good little, before we ask the question, little segue to just say, like, if you're not already in our Facebook group, please join us over there. That is where we pick our trivia winners for every season. Our trivia contestants for every season. We put a post out, we do a randomized drawing, and then we invite you guys on for 2 rounds, and then there's a showdown. And it's literally going to be here before you know it, because we are moving through this season
super fast.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. This... And there's other great stuff in the group too. It's caption where contest. We like, you know, test the waters for ideas like doing a sisterhood retreat, like that you guys can come to. There's all sorts of stuff.
We're absolutely talking about an East Coast meetup. And that post, two or three of those posts are in the group. So that's where you get all our musings, all of our off the brain stuff, any polls, caption contests, weekly fashion corner where you can post your own outfit of the day. And if you want to bitch with us, we have That Shitty Saturday. And we also have That's What's Up Wednesday. It's not
What's Good Wednesday.
What's Good Wednesday? I made a little black. That's What's Up Wednesday.
I don't hate That's What's Up Wednesday. We can change it.
But yeah, we really do try to have a cute community over there. It's growing. We just hit 400 members. So please join us on Le Book of all faces.
Sometimes, and there are ways that, like, it's rare that we invite listeners on who aren't like Patreon subscribers, mm-hmm. but hell, we are actually having a group member on this season because he shot his shot in the comments, said, mm-hmm. I want to come on. And we said, you know what? Yes, we would love to have you. We love your, you know, contributions to the group as it is. We'd love to have you contribute to the show. So, yes. You know,
shout out to our lovely group members. We have a lot of very engaged group members, and as we're growing, obviously things will change, but right now it is a really good time to like grow with us and shoot your shot. Who knows? You might end up being on the show.
Yeah. And on that note, who bummed you out this episode?
I don't know why.
Paige?
Yeah, stop me. But yeah, Paige is cunty in this episode.
Paige is super cunty. She's honestly, she might be my only, like, bummer.
Everybody else is kind of just annoying.
Right.
Yeah. Because I know who's my shine? Ashley.
I was going to say Ashley
was very like a light throughout this episode. I really appreciated her encouraging Jimmy to help his friend, and just like even when he's like getting excited and being like, oh, I can go to art school, you know, I can even pay my way through so I don't have to ask my dad or whatever. And she's like, art school, and you know, rolls with it. It's like, at least as long as we're together, like I right, just
she's
want
like
us to be
surprised
together.
By it. She didn't realize this is what we were doing, but she's like, no, that's what you want to do.
She did not realize this is what we were doing, but she's on board because she just wants to be with Jimmy. And I love that.
And she just wants Jimmy to be happy.
She's like, as long as we're together and we're both living out our dreams, like I'm fine. Very cute. I love Ashley in this episode and this season, really. She's doing great for me this season. She's rolling with all the bullshit that she's having to encounter, because in this episode alone, like I could see someone being frustrated about the flip-floppiness of their partner. But she is very much like, I just want us to both be happy and do what we love and be, you know, together. So yeah. Ashley is a shining star.
And we can't even do it to Manny because she's not even there.
She's not even there. No. Manny wasn't there.
To buy my squatch wear.
Yeah.
I guess she didn't care.
Manny wasn't there. Okay. Does it go there?
Does it go there?
No.
No. Even though Jimmy almost got knocked the fuck out of his wheelchair.
Even though Jimmy almost got knocked the fuck out of his wheelchair. And then also even though Alex, you know, formerly broke an ankle and almost blinded a girl. Literally, and Jimmy didn't almost get kicked. It was not like that. They just wanted to shake him up a little so he'd know better.
Shake and Jimmy syndrome. Literally, like, they could not, the punches were, they were not trying, they could have punched him out and took his box and ran. They were trying to, they were playing tug of war with his ass, okay? He was really not in much danger.
Like, no.
That was like their first robbery.
And their last just to throw
their ass by Spinner. Wait, like how Jimmy and Spinner are hanging up because he's like, are you going to get a vendor license next time? He's like, I think we're done. It's like the same time. Except like, you know what
I realized is that they're not done.
They're not done, no.
But these guys were like, let's rob. Let's rob this really, really poorly run, harebrained idea of a shop that's run by an idiot and a guy in a wheelchair. And then they got so fucking humbled.
Yo, the way that Spinner twists his arm around, he's like, ah, oh, he's like, yo, we fucked up.
Like, they really Spinner knows how to fight.
Spinner made the most calculated decisions in that fight he has ever made in his life.
That is someone trained in combat.
Seriously, when the dude is like, who the fuck are you,
Right, we have never seen fighting like this on Degrassi before, and not until the MMA arc will we ever see it again. So you know what? I take it back. Maybe it does go there.
Spinner snatched that boy up and put his bicep in his throat. Because why did he twist his arm like that? He's like, I'll break it. Jesus, Spinner, when did you
excessive
take, like,
force? You haven't even, like, joined the academy yet. Spin, calm down. Going for extra credit.
He took, like, Super Rambo classes, like, and told no one.
Like, spoiler alert, but years from now, Spinner is not going to pass his police academy, like, entrance exam.
Sorry, he waits way too long to take it. If we're being honest, what... Why is he waiting so long to take this shit?
Because, like, I know it's because he's not, like, he stays in school for so long because, like, he's already been held back, and he was already held back. Like, Miss Kwan held him back like 8 times, so he's still only like
Miss
a sophomore
Kwan
in English.
Let him go,
and then the cancer—he's gonna miss school because of the cancer, and he's gonna have to do his senior year. Spinner Mason does his senior year like 8 times.
I fucking forgot about the ball cancer.
I made a penis of it.
I know, but I just forget that he's got to deal with that. Because I'm like, this boy needs to leave high school. He literally has like 3 sets of high school girlfriends that are younger than him. And leave the school before he does.
He's like Matthew McConaughey in Dazed and Confused. That's what he's I love about high school girls.
Literally. I need to
That's
watch.
That's what I love about my senior class. Is I keep getting older and the girls stay the same age. Because he really is. He's a senior for so many seasons. But anyway.
He is. He really is. Like, he needs to leave. But it might go there. I just think that the...
It doesn't go there.
I don't think so. Just the way that I'm laughing at this entire... They brought no weapons. They brought no weapons to rob them. There was no mortal intent. It's not like somebody got held at gunpoint. Even, I believe, so we, originally, Riley and Nelly, our mother-daughter duo from last season, thought that the episode they chose was this episode. It was not, obviously. They came on for the JT sells drugs episode instead of this one. But the JT sells drugs episode is vastly more heavy in tone nature,
content,
like this is literally
acting abilities even, and they're not even that great. It's not a well acted episode. It's not that great.
The most atrocious thing that occurs in this episode is that Jimmy is nearly taken out of his wheelchair and Alex broke somebody's ankle in the past. And yeah, blinded someone, almost blinded someone with a laser pointer in the past. So y'all dodged, you know, the bullets that were not in this episode, because literally there were no weapons. They did not come with any weapons but these fists. Thanks for listening to Your Mom's Podcast. Next week, we will be joined by a surprise special guest to discuss bad teachers and blowjobs in Crazy Little Thing Called Love.
I feel the need to specify that the bad teachers and the blowjobs are two different plots.
They are. That's important.
I didn't think that until you said it out loud.
That's okay. If you know, you know. If you don't, you'll know. This episode of Your Mom's Podcast was made possible in part by The Dot, Jimmy's Academic Fund, and support from listeners like you.
Boom. We'd like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers, Tay,
Lucy,
Iggy,
Evie,
Miranda,
and an extra special thanks to our Titty Snake producers, Tawny,
the Degrassi Generations Facebook group,
Corey,
Chelsea,
Brandy,
and Alika.
Thank you guys. We love you.
Thank you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPodcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-podcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. PAHDCAST. Thank you.